This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Front Row on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. We've had singers, harmonica players, violinists, cellists, flutists, guitarists, keyboardists, a player of the theremin even, and a harpist on this show. But I must admit, this is the first time for a bagpiper. Ross O'Connell Jennings comes from Scotland, and he's on a mission to play the bagpipe in every single country in the world. To date, after being on the road since April 2014, he has travelled and played in 46 countries around the world. Welcome. How are you today?
Very well, thank you. And you guys?
Very well, very well. When did this idea to play the bagpipe in every country in the world come about?
I pretty much remember it to the exact moment. I think it was 24th of January, 2014. And what was I doing? I was cycling home from an adventure travel show in London. I was in Fulham, and I'd been to all these awesome adventures, talks, and they did all these cool things. And I was thinking, okay, how do I be that person on the stage? And so I left that adventure travel show, cycled home, and it just popped into my mind. And I thought, you know what? I want to be the first person to pipe in every country. Because I'd already played the bagpipes, already played in quite a few countries. So I thought, why not like combine the two and just go for it?
How would you describe the sound of the bagpipe?
Ooh. I'd say it's quite stirring.
Stirring.
Stirring. There's something about it which, for most people, actually, it makes some people cry in a good and bad way. And it makes some people, I don't know, every person who I've piped in front, maybe in the UK, if they're Scots, they find it quite like emotional or stirring. Maybe, and it's also loud, actually. I suppose that's the first most recognisable thing. It is very loud.
Yes, and I understand that it's only one volume. You can't, there's no way you can
pretty much. But you can change the reeds. So you might have a slightly quieter reed, but sometimes it's potluck because the reed is so hard that that it's not like an oboe where it's like quite a nice soft sound, and you can't turn it down or put a muffler like a trumpet or any of those brass instruments. It is just boom, obnoxious and loud.
This is what Shakespeare once said. One of his characters, he associated the instrument with urine. Paraphrasing what the character says, when the bagpipe sings in the nose, there are some who cannot contain their urine. But a force must yield to such inevitable shame as to offend himself. And what would you say to that?
I would say there's maybe some truth in that. Because some people, it's kind of quite Marmite-y. You either love it or you hate it. And with the pipes. And honestly, some people just cannot stand the sound of the bagpipes. And my sister is one of them.
How did that work at all?
Not very well. To the point where when I was practicing, because you practice on this chanter, which kind of looks like a snake chanter.
Yeah.
And you learn all your tunes. And you sometimes it might take you a year or a year and a half before you actually get onto the bagpipe. And that sounds not the nicest sound. It's a bit of like a weird, like a broken cat's meow. And but imagine that, like again and again for hours a day practicing. So my parents got me this electric chanter where you just plug your headphones in and you kind of play away. So that was pretty cool. That kind of changed things up, and it improved my relationship with my sister.
How old were you when you first started?
14.
14, okay.
So I was given the opportunity to pipe at my school in the UK when I was 14. And I thought, why not? Because they were offering free lessons. And I was the only person in my whole school to take up the pipes. And because it is weird, you have to be slightly weird. And if you'd meet a piper before, they're a bit odd.
I would have never have guessed.
But I thought, why not? Like, I have the opportunity, so I'm just going to go for it. And my mother's Scottish, so they always wanted someone in the family to play the pipes.
Did she ever play the pipes?
No. No, absolutely not. I think I'm the first person for maybe a couple of generations to play the pipes.
Interesting. Yeah. So while you were on the road, did you ever meet anyone who sort of like, well, shun the sound of the bagpipe, holding their hands to their ears and just telling you to get out of their sight?
Yes, actually, one mostly positive reactions, even if it is so loud. But I remember piping in Stone Town in Zanzibar, and half the locals in the street were like trying to get me to pipe up. I started playing great, and then you had about six mums lean out the window and in I think Swahili or maybe Arabic shout the equivalent of shut the expletive Bleep. Up. Yeah, exactly. So I quietly kind of went away.
Then how do you deal with it? I mean, you've taken this trip, you're going around the world, you're bound to meet people who hate you.
I think, honestly, most of the 9 times out of 10, it's a positive reaction. I mean, I think there's certain ways of doing these things. Like, if you are busking, I was once asked, I think the other day, and I've never been asked it, three bits of advice I would give people if they're playing musical instruments abroad, particularly in public. Mm-hmm. And I think the one big thing is don't try and, obviously, don't do it to upset people and piss people off. Don't do it to earn money. Because I think it's quite maybe a bit obnoxious to go somewhere and expect people to pay you in the street. But also go big. Go as big and obnoxious as you can. Because if you're going to get in trouble, you may only have one opportunity to do it. But I also think, like, if you do it, if you're a little bit bashful and apologetic, because I know it's so loud, and I'm always like, I'm sorry, it's so loud. But most of the times, locals and things like that, like I was in Cape Town piping in an area called Bokop, mm-hmm. which is the most beautiful area of Cape Town. It's kind of the Muslim quarter, and I was at these beautiful, colourful houses, and I was a bit sort of nervous about playing because, like, I don't know, it's such a tightly packed neighbourhood, and all these locals flooded out and were like, "No, continue. What are you doing? Don't be so embarrassed." And I quite like doing it like that.
Would you say that was one of the most memorable bagpipe related events?
Experiences or events?
Any more that you could share?
Oh, there are so many. Some with, I think, with like policemen, some with like playing with in front of animals. I've had the most animals. Bizarre experience. Yeah, I think one of the most surreal experiences was piping in Kenya in a hotel called Giraffe Manor. So it's this very well-known hotel, which is actually, interestingly, a former Scottish manor. Built in the outskirts of Nairobi. So it was built by this very wealthy Scottish man for his wife. So there's a cool Scottish link there. And I got in contact and said, can I play? Because I thought it would be super cool to play in front of this Scottish manor. And it's also next door to a giraffe sanctuary. And they have all these giraffe, like orphan giraffes, relatively tame. But the sell of the hotel is that the giraffes kind of stick their heads through the windows and will like eat your breakfast and like kiss you good morning. Lovely. Sounds weird, but they actually do. And they said, yeah, okay, you can pipe, but don't pipe for too long. You might disturb the giraffes. But I piped in front of like horses, cows, things like that, sheep, not intentionally, but practicing in Scotland and in Ireland and the UK, you're always near cattle.
I was going to say, is this because the humans shunned you?
Yeah. I never had a good audience, yeah. But interestingly, whenever you pipe in front of cattle or like herds of animals, they line up and just started marching towards me. It is honestly bizarre. I did it in front of camels in Bahrain as well. Same response. And I don't know if it's the tone that hits them because it's such a weird frequency, or maybe it's a self-defense thing.
Right.
That they start marching towards, but didn't feel intimidating. But the exact same thing happened in Kenya. I was piping on the footsteps of this Scottish like manor, and then out of the trees, a line of these giraffes just start walking towards
That's
me.
Amazing.
So bizarre. To the point where the manager had to be like, stop, stop, because they were getting complaints from the giraffe sanctuary next door. Because they had all these tourists there being like, where are the giraffes gone?
And what did the giraffes do then? They just stopped and
they stopped me playing because they were coming closer and closer. Yeah. But they're all relatively tame because some of them are hand-reared or have been injured to the point they can't go back in the wild.
Yeah.
They came up and they had a few come up, one called Lynn in particular. And you end up being able to feed them. So I have this brilliant photo of me feeding her with my pipes in my hand and then also kissing her because you can put a pellet of food in your mouth and they come and just scoop it out your mouth with their tongue. Gross, but kind of fun.
Exciting. Yeah. It's so weird.
The most action I got in Africa, so no, I'm joking.
It kind of makes you think of like the Pied Piper, you know? It's like, what was the connection between the piper?
And children.
And the children.
It's
and
so
then the
true.
Rats. And yeah.
Very true, because it is this sound that kind of hypnotizes people, I think. I pipe a lot in schools and international schools and do talks too. And I always find it with little ones, wee ones that are kind of like under 5. They're like, manic, chasing me around, trying to, and I piped at the. I was in Brunei 2 weeks ago, and I was piping at the International School of Brunei, and exact same thing happened. I piped through the school, and I had this line of little kids just running after me.
That's amazing. amazing. Did you get a video of that?
I think the school does. I'm still waiting to kind of have it sent back. But
Okay. And how long will you be in Kuala Lumpur for, and in Malaysia? Where are you off to
next? I've been in Malaysia now for almost a month, which has been lovely. So I've taken it quite slowly because I've managed to tick off Sabah. Mm-hmm. I was gutted to not get to Sarawak. Okay. But I did Penang. I've been in KL. And I've taken it quite slowly. It's nice to enjoy these places, because one big thing I learned 2 years ago after I started piping and traveling was that, okay, it's cheesy, but it's all about the journey as opposed to the goal. So if you treat it as ticking off countries, it's just miserable. Mm. And you're quite cutthroat. You don't allow yourself for these opportunities to meet people. And it's been amazing. And also, like, Malaysia is pretty dear to my heart because my father was born here.
Nice. Yeah. Where? Which part?
In Georgetown.
Okay. And how have the Malaysians been taking to your music?
They love it. Everywhere I've been, so many people here, because I suppose the link to the UK, obviously history has a bit of an influence. There's pipers in Malaysia, and so many people instantly see it and go, oh, okay, cool, Scotland, awesome. And some people are like, what? Why are you dressed as a woman?
So do you ask permission, or do you just sort of rock up to, like, public spaces? And
My kind of formula is sometimes I'll try and pipe at an event.
Okay.
For example, when I was in Tanzania 2 years ago, mm-hmm. I frantically Googled different events to pipe at. And this one event came up, which is the annual charity goat race. So
again,
I was the
animals.
Official piper to the goats. In
I'm
Dar es
Salaam.
Beginning
to see a pattern here. Yeah.
But in Malaysia in the past year, I've been a bit more relaxed and maybe disorganized. And I kind of ruck up. And what I'll do is I'll plan to take a cheesy photo in an iconic location. So let's say the Petronas Towers. And the journey to that, me standing outside, I'll usually end up meeting people. People will come up to me. I always travel alone because it just facilitates more interactions and you're less exclusive. Mm-hmm. People come to you and you have the opportunity to chat, and also I end up using someone's finger to press the shutter on my camera.
Lovely.
So all my photos are thanks to my tripod and also thousands of randomers around the world.
So if someone would like to catch you play, let's say here in KL, how can we keep track of you? How can we find you?
Very good question. Yeah. I think maybe my Malaysian viewers, if you feel like coming to Singapore for Saturday, not very easy.
Well, if anyone happens to be there this weekend. Yes
exactly.
Okay, all right. Then
you can see me piping in various locations, maybe by the Merlion. You'll hear me before you see me.
Do you have a website that we can sort of follow you?
I do. My website's probably a lot more basic than my social media accounts.
Okay.
I've started getting on Snapchat now, so if anyone's on Snapchat, okay. I'm at Ross OC Jennings, mm-hmm. not Rose. Ross.
R-O-S-S.
And then my Instagram and Facebook and Twitter is The First Piper.
Okay. The First Piper.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So Ross O'Connell Jennings, the intrepid bagpiper in a kilt, who is traveling the world with the goal to play the bagpipe in every country. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you guys for having me.
This is Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs with BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.